Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Ryan.
I'm Nick.
And this is a podcast.
Yes, it is.
Coming to you live from Studio 1A.
I think today's the 21st.
It's Sunday night.
It's Sunday. Geek night?
I'm clipping the microphone, probably.
Yep. I can't even tell. Are we about equal? Do I sound good to you?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
When he just belted out, when he just went into Lion King that one time, that was the best.
Yeah.
And then he kept doing the gag in weeks after, and I was just like, it's never going to be as good.
Yeah.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Okay. I woke up this morning, and I knew that something was wrong with the wiring in my house because my fan wasn't on.
Oh. What was wrong with the wiring?
So, our box of circuit breakers was manufactured by a defunct company named, Pacific Federal or something like that.
Okay, that actually sounds familiar.
They're not around anymore because of some kind of lawsuit where their product was deemed, just a general liability.
Okay. They fell down.
Yeah.
Because of an accident that happened.
Yeah. So the 15-amp breaker... 15 amp.
Yeah.
That half of our house is on.
Mm-hmm.
That circuit breaker finally burned out.
Okay.
And this has provided us the impetus to replace that whole circuit box.
But, like, fail safe at least, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The house didn't burn down.
Good, good. Because, if you had, like, 15.4, you'd be dead. You'd just burn up. It'd feel like you were sitting on the sun.
The power supply in my computer could overblow that breaker if it wanted to.
Yeah.
God damn it.
If it wanted to. That, I don't like the idea that your computer has whims.
Well, I mean, if I plugged enough shit into it.
Yeah. Oh, I've had that problem every time I upgraded my computer.
I double SLI'd with 4 video cards.
And each of them had, like, a separate fan you had to power?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of...
So that's been my day.
You play Dark Souls.
Yeah, I've been playing Dark Souls with an extension cord run across the hallway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just because you're half the house was doing without, as they say.
Yeah.
I believe that is the colloquialism.
So we cleaned out the garage, got a look at the circuit box, poked it with one of the tester thingies, you know.
Yeah.
Went through the whole rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
Yeah. Dark Souls is a good game. I've been turning over in my mind whether or not to buy Dust, an Elysian Tale.
Yeah.
I did not realize that it was spelled Tale like...
T-A-I-L.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've seen the art by this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It's kind of a weird complaint, but... I don't know. The characters and stuff are, like, almost a little too smooth. I don't like how smooth they look.
Well, because it's, like, I have kind of the same problem, but it's, like, they're almost, like, there's a couple of characters who look like they're going more for, you know, like, the Mickey Mouse super cartoony style, but then it's super fluid.
Yeah.
Like, the way that it moves is fantastic, but then it looks like, I'm trying my best not to be degradatory.
Okay.
Derogative.
No.
No?
Still, you almost got it between the two.
Damn.
You're trying not to hate on furries.
I'm trying not to hate on furries.
Which is a weird thing coming from you.
I have nothing wrong with furries.
I know. But that's why it's weird.
But that's the thing is, why is that? Because I hate everything, sure.
No.
What?
Make your point, because I'm obviously confused.
There's just, like, a weird similarity in furry styles. Like there's a way to, like, draw animal people, and then there's a way to draw furries. And this game is drawn like you draw furries.
Like somebody might draw their Sonic OCs.
Yeah.
That's pretty low, Nick. That's a low blow.
But that's the thing. It's not so much a matter of, like, quality of the art, because it looks good, and it's anime, like... My mind is fucking blown by the animation.
Yeah,
I'm considering
yeah.
getting it just to enjoy more of that animation. But just sort of the... like you were saying, like, everybody seems too smooth or too shiny or, like too googly-eyed to just, like, giant, shiny. Like, some people, I swear, look like Mickey Mouse. It's kind of... Like, there's something about it that is just... Like, it just reminds you that every, like, all personification of animals is, like, bullshit. We're just built to recognize that things with big eyes are cute, like a baby might be, because we're supposed to be, like, built to protect babies. But then, like, a cat doesn't give a fuck about you, no matter how human you make its eyes.
Whoa.
Possibly my... All of my, like, psychological studies have made me more adept to notice that.
At the same time, though, that game looks super dope.
Mechanically, it looks fantastic. Just the idea of cast elemental spells, catch them in a sword whirlwind, the longer you hold them makes them more powerful. That sounds fun.
At the same time, though, going back around again, dude so holds his sword backwards.
Yeah, well, ain't nothing wrong with that.
There's so much wrong with that.
No, there was
that... I think
that,
it looks dumb.
Are you racist against tail-headed ladies? Back in Masters of Terakasi, or whatever that Star Wars fighting game on the PS1 was.
What?
There was one lady who had, like, head tails and a yellow lightsaber, and she held her lightsaber backwards.
Yeah, I think that's dumb. Like, the one... the fucking game where the kid got into the Soul Calibur. That guy? Force Unleashed?
Okay.
Fuck that. Holding lightsabers backwards. You'll burn your elbows off!
If you do it wrong!
You're already doing it wrong!
What if you were like the Guyver? What if you were like the Guyver and you just held it on, like, the joint of your shoulder and it just pointed out?
Well, that's just
how do you
feel
about that?
That's just where they come out. That's how they're supposed to work. Swords aren't meant to be held backwards! It looks dumb!
You can't hug your children with nuclear swords?
You can't!
What? Swords don't have arms! I guess.
I don't know. I'll probably buy that game.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope.
Like, I saw that in the Mark of the Assassin. That looks really dope, so I think I may actually wait and get that, especially if you're going to get Elysian Tale. I'll just steal your Xbox and
play
it that way.
You'll hear about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Mark of the Assassin looks cool, because 2D ninja game, but like, it actually reminds me a lot of Stealth Bastard.
Is that the one that the Shank guys made?
I think so, yeah.
Because I remember hearing about them making a stealth game.
Yeah, it seems like it's a lot like Stealth Bastard, at least in the sort of clarity of everything.
Yeah.
Like when you go to throw a kunai, it pauses time so you can free aim, and every time you sort of lock onto a target, it shows you a big circle of, like, how far the sound from it can be heard from the source.
Whoa!
There's a lot of, like, things, like, you can startle enemies and use that to scare other enemies into traps. You can, like, it very much is just like it's a 2D ninja game, but in the end it's really a puzzle game. It's one of those ideas of like, what, like, I have all these tools available to me, what do I need, like, what order do I need to use them in, and where do I need to lure people in order to get through this? And
I like the sound of that. I especially like the sound of scaring dudes.
Yeah.
Because I've never really seen that before in a stealth game, but just being able to, like, I mean, aside from, I guess, like, hold-ups at MGS, but that's not really the same as just, like, suddenly popping out and being like, boom, motherfucker!
Yeah.
Or
not even like that, but, like, I think it's like, you can, like, if two dudes are talking to each other, you can throw a trap that'll, like, not get heard, but then, like, you shoot the bird's nest, and they'll hear the bird's nest and stand on the trap, and then the dude who stands on the trap will die, and the other one just freaks out.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, it looks really... It looks really sweet.
Cat's clawing at the cables.
Cat does a lot of shit.
I'm just letting you know before it breaks something.
No, because she knows I'm right here, and I don't mind throwing a cat. Yeah. I'll flip a cat over if I have to. But yeah, so if I don't get Dust, it'll be because I'm going to save my money and get that.
What about Hybrid? I don't know.
I got in for the beta on that, like... And 6 hours before my gold subscription ran out.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then now it's out, so...
So whatevs.
Yep.
It's okay, I bought Receiver. And that game is dope.
Tell me about this game.
Okay, so it is gun porn.
Okay.
But, like, for one gun. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to make a realistic gun simulator, and it's kind of a puzzle game.
Okay, go on.
Like, more than anything, because it's just like, you start with the gun in a random state, and like every time what you need to do is you need to check to see how many bullets are in your clip, whether there's one in a chamber, is the safety on, is the hammer back. And you kind of just got to check that every time the game begins, and then you go on. And just, it's all about counting bullets, and, you know, load it, cock one, and then put one more bullet in the clip. Hmm. You need to holster your gun, because you need two hands to put bullets in or out, and do, like, bullet clip management.
Okay.
Magazine,
Nick.
I clip them to my belt.
Okay.
I'm talking about the clips. So I'm managing what's on all of my clips, which happen to be magazines.
Okay. Good.
Also, I have these subscriptions. I'm trying to work my way through college again.
Okay.
Because I came out and my mom was dead, so I figured, fuck it, I'll go for another tour of college. Then I found this
old man.
All right,
kid. All right. This game plays as a first-person shooter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It like almost has that GoldenEye thing going on where by default you have the gun in ready position and you can kind of aim it around the screen, but there is just a toggle to lock it to the middle of the screen. But it also kind of makes sense because there's only...
Because it's independent movement of your wrist and neck.
Yes. But also, like, there is very much a sense of a aiming state. You cannot run while you're aiming.
Yeah, yeah.
And also you want, like, as fine aiming as you can get because... There's only two types of enemies I've seen. There's, like, a robotic turret and a robotic flying drone. And they have subsystems on them that you can damage separately from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the main thing that you do is you figure out which part is the camera, and then you shoot the camera so that it can't find you anymore.
Oh, okay.
You can shoot the blades on the flying ones and just make them fall out of the sky. You can, I think you can shoot, like, the pivot and the actual gun on the turret. So I've had a number of, like, very frightening moments where I run out and I'm like, all right, I just gotta run out and shoot the camera, and I shoot it, and I hit the gun and miss the camera, and then it just looks at me and makes the warning noise, like, I'm gonna shoot you. And then it just stares at me.
It just goes click, 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 click.
Also, you take one hit of anything and you're dead.
Oh, yeah.
And permadeath. Like,
oh,
you
gosh.
Start fresh every time. It is basically a roguelike in that sense. Which is cool, because, like, even though it is, it feels like the main thing about it is being a puzzle game about just...
Managing your gun.
That. About managing your gun. Because it's also kind of funny. Sometimes you're in a panic. And it's just like, all right, safety, pull the clip out, holster, load bullet, and then if you're also running from a thing at the same time, you're kind of dead. Sometimes I just have this problem where, like, I'm half thinking about, like, well, should I go down this hallway or that hallway, or how should I approach this? And I'm just letting my fingers, like, do stuff, and then I just hear, like, ka-thunk, and I look down and I press the wrong button, and instead of putting the clip back in the gun, I just dropped it to the ground, which is sort of great. But then there are a number of moments that where, like, when you get... There's nothing on the HUD except for, like, press slash for help. And it actually sort of has, like, a smart mode. Like, depending on how you have the gun, it highlights the action buttons that will help you get the gun to ready-to-be-fired state.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But after, like, two rounds, like, you don't need that. And it's just very sad. Like, I've had a couple of moments where, like... Like, I was walking around, just, like, walking and picking up bullets and, like, figuring out where I was, and just letting my fingers do all of the, like pull out the magazine and reload it and then put everything back, and just, like, wow, that was really smooth. Like, didn't even have to think about it. And then other times...
Become operator.
Yeah. And then just sort of, like, there was one point where I was in a gunfight with a flying turret with a taser and just running backwards and just, like, ah! And just firing at it because I was panicked. But then very smoothly just pulled out one clip, put it in slot 3, pulled the one out from slot 4, put it back in the gun, and kept shooting.
Hmm.
And only twice has it spawned me and immediately killed me because there was an enemy looking at me from behind when the game initialized.
How often does, like, anything happen that removes your gun from being okay? Like, you say the game starts you with a random state of, like, is your gun loaded? Is the hammer back? Is the safety on? Like, and all this stuff, but, like, does your gun ever jam, like, while you're firing it, and then you need to fix it? Like...
No.
Once you have it ready to go, it's just good to go?
Yeah. Pretty much. I think the... it's really all about user error is okay. a thing. Like they make it a big deal about, because like if you start miscounting and it, you know, clicks open and the slide locks,
you
can be kind of screwed then. You can, if you're not paying attention, like there's a button to slide the hammer, to pull the slide back to basically check to see if there's a bullet in a chamber. But there's like, you need to hold two keys to do it in a way that won't eject the bullet.
Yeah.
So if you forget about that, I have a couple of times just been like, click, and the bullet flies away. I'm like, oh, why did that happen? Click another, and just sort of like, just I'm just being dumb now. Just ejected every bullet manually. At which point, you then need to chase around, pick up all of your bullets,
reload the magazine,
and reload the magazine.
And
that's the other thing. Like, not only is it just about bullets in the magazine, but also basically, like, you find individual bullets. If you're lucky, a room will have between like 2 and 6 bullets, just sort of somewhere in the room. And you pick up individual bullets and have to keep track of how many individual bullets you have outside of any magazines that you have. Because it also starts you with, like, random... One time it started me with, like, 2 completely filled clips and, like, an extra 4 or 5.
Does it start you with, like, a random number of magazines, too?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Random mags and bullets.
So you could just... Like, you could potentially start with, like, 4 magazines with 1 bullet in each one.
Yes.
At which point...
At which point it makes sense to pull... To put your gun away, pull all of the bullets out, put them all in one... And then drop those 3 empty mags.
Wait, why do you want to drop the empty mags?
They
might be useful.
They might be useful. I mean, only if you find that many bullets.
Does it slow you down to carry them or anything?
I don't think so.
So why drop them?
No.
So you don't accidentally put 3 different empty magazines in.
Yeah. No, that happened to me one time. I was in another gunfight and my gun ran out. And I was like, because it also doesn't number which slot is which. They're just lined up at the bottom. So if you have like 1 and then 3 empty slots, you may not realize that that's 3 empty slots, maybe like 4 or 5. So a couple of times I was just like, I think it's this slot. Pulled it up, the empty one. No, put it back. And like, you can't just switch between 2. Like, you need to have your hands empty to pull out another one. So you need to stick them into a slot manually to pull out. Like, it is very complicated. But it's all user error. Like, there's nothing... Like, except for, like, the state of the world. And, like the worst thing that happens because of random chance is that an enemy starts looking at you.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool, because there's, like, only a few sets of world pieces.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what sort of structure is there to the levels? And, like, what's your goal? Is it just, like, get through? Or is it eliminate everything?
No, the goal is there are tapes. There's this weird... sort of fiction that they set up that are told to you through cassette tapes that you find around.
That sounds awesome.
Like, one of the... And apparently there's 11 tapes in total, and I think you win if you get all 11 in one run-through. My best so far is 4.
Jeez.
But just listening to the different tapes, like, one is sort of a, like, field guide to your gun. One is talking about, like, what a receiver is, because... Apparently, receiver is not only talking about the receiver as the gun mechanism, but also people can be turned into receivers by listening to clear tapes. There's one sort of explaining what a clear tape is, that, like, it is a tape that, when you listen to it, sounds like it's blank, but the more you, it is actually, like, a tool to open your consciousness, so the more you listen to it, the more open your consciousness becomes. So they say, like, after listening to it 50 times, you may begin to hear a clicking noise. After listening to it 1,000 times, you may begin to hear whispers. And after listening to it more than 5,000 times, you will become something more than human.
Whoa!
Yeah, like, there's something really weird. And it like, that's especially creepy when, you know, the same dude has recorded all of these tapes. One time I found a tape, and it was blank. And I just freaked out.
Yeah.
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 But, there are no people in this world. Like, you are the only... You don't even have hands, and that's kind of creepy, but it's to get a better view of the gun, I imagine. Like, they modeled the gun, and that's all you really need.
Like, what was that adventure game on the PS3 where you have hands?
The one where you're in the forest?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
I remember...
Dusseldorf.
Dessera? That's a different thing.
Deseract.
Nope.
Death Becomes Her.
I remember, like...
Romancing the Stone.
You know, in that game, like, you point around with, you know, with hands, and you just touch things and stuff. And I remember, like, at one point, they had a full wrist and arm modeled.
Yeah.
And then they realized, like, if you just put your hand all the way across the screen, it looks really gross.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why is this dude's wrist 4 feet long? I don't know. So you just control a disembodied hand. Just a floating hand.
Yeah. I mean, that's your Uncanny Valley stuff. Sometimes when you try to do too much, it looks worse.
You know what? It's more... It's better for the player if they just have no wrist. If we just... Just floating hand.
I mean, we were playing...
It's less creepy that way.
We were playing L.A. Noire the other night.
Yeah.
And they have a little bit of that robot wrist going on.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's a game where bad things happen to women a lot.
It reminds me a lot of Action Quake, actually.
Yeah?
Sort of like...
Yeah?
Yeah. In the visual sense, because there's, like, sections with walkways and staircases, but everything is, like, really... Like, there's not really anything textured. A lot of it is just modeled. It was made in Unity. It runs really well for being made in Unity.
Made in Unity?
Yeah. I've seen...
What the fuck?
I've seen a lot... You can do a lot with Unity, but I've seen a lot of people who, like, try to do too much and end up making something that runs shittily. Like, somebody made a Sonic, like, fan remix in response to Episode 4. I can't play that because it just crawls to a standstill. And when I tried playing Slender, that... was crawling pretty bad. But then again, I was also trying to stream that. But this one, it just runs.
Yeah.
Like, in a window.
Revolver, not L.A. Noire.
Yeah. Are you? Go home. Okay. Give me your keys and go home.
What? No, I left my keys in the car.
Huh. Give me your car.
Okay.
Okay. That was easy.
The inspection is almost up, and it probably won't last you another year anyway.
That reminds me, I got the registration for my car. I got to go stick that in.
Oh, I got to pay for that.
Yeah.
I got to get my car registered again. Motherfuck.
You can do it online. It's easy.
Yeah, I know.
I
just would rather have $100.
Money. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Receiver looks a lot like Action Quake.
Yeah, not L.A. Noire.
But also sort of in the layout of certain things. Because there's, like, a couple of areas that are just like, well, you know, we have a staircase because it's supposed to be kind of like an apartment complex. But it's a lot of just, like, weird shapes.
Yeah.
There's some rooftop sections. There's some tunnel sections. There's, like, prefab houses that have four bathrooms in it because each room has its own bathroom.
I have not seen this game yet. But in my mind, it looks a lot like Cactus's game Mondo. Mondo Medical, was it? Something like that.
Kind of, yeah.
That weird walking around game.
It's a bit like that, but with better lighting. Like,
okay.
it definitely had a... I would say you're not far off.
Fantastic. I like Cactus.
Yeah, he's all right. Psycho Mansudium. The one where you're in a dream, and it... Death as a progression mechanic?
I don't think I played that one.
It's an alright one. We should probably talk about that and finally get to 100.
Talk about a freeware game on this podcast?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
That's stupid.
I was drinking. I'm pretty sure I'm an alcoholic now, but it gives me ideas.
I've got a freeware game I can talk about.
What?
You ever hear of a little indie darling called Team Fortress 2?
No.
Oh.
Tell me about it.
It's this game that Valve made, like, 8 fucking years ago or some shit.
Yeah.
So they recently wowed the world with a stunning display of innovation and creativity.
Oh, they finally released the Pandarians.
Nope.
Oh.
There's a co-op mode where you fight bots. Now.
Well, shit.
And I know we tried to play some the other day, but the matchmaking, from what I can tell, is still horrendously broken, just because of the volume of people who want to play it.
Yeah.
But you can just go through the server browser and play games. And since we failed to play the other day, I did play some games of it, and I thought I might report unto you and the listening populace about what the fuck is this thing.
I've heard somebody describe it as TF2 for the rest of us. How does that statement hold up?
Well, first of all, I think that's sort of a dumb opinion because the skill ceiling in competitive TF2 is relatively very low.
I don't think it so much has to do with the ceiling so much as the skill set that it focuses on.
I guess. I mean, the only thing I would say it would be challenging to, like, somebody just coming into it now would be just an information gap, just, like, not knowing about shit.
Mm-hmm.
Cat. But whatever. TF2 for the rest of us. I don't know.
Well, because from what little I saw, it does force everyone onto Team Red, right?
Yeah.
So the video was false.
Well, canonically, Red and Blue have teamed up against Gray, but I guess just to make it fit better into the structure they already have.
Yeah.
You're Red because Red defends, and the robots are kind of blue-tinted because Blue attacks.
Okay.
And that way they don't need to change any of the UI.
Okay.
It's all right. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
I have a lion now. It's co-op versus bots.
Yes.
But is it still TF2, or, I mean, it's wave-based, so how far is it going towards, let's say, what the hell was that game? Synchron Sanctum? Or one of those other sort of first-person tower defense-y games?
That's a pretty good comparison. It definitely borrows from, like, that sort of tower defense structure. Like, you're on any given map, like, they mark with little floating icons, like, which route the bomb will be going through this time,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
That's a bomb that players push?
No, it's the bomb that the robots are trying to deliver to your base.
So bots are pushing?
Yeah,
okay.
they're attacking, you're defending.
They're creeps gonna push creeps, gotcha.
But at the same time, when you kill the bomb carrier, it comes up as you having defended the bomb, which confuses me. You defended your base. You didn't defend the bomb.
Okay. Okay.
That might just be a weird thing. They do a lot with bot variety that I actually really like. All of the playable classes are represented aside from Engie. And then there are sort of a number of variants of those classes that also show up. What's up?
Is the NG omitted because of the moral implications? Well, because if a human creates a human, it's a baby. So if a robot creates a sentry, now that's just, like,
robots having babies.
Baby robot murder,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess. No, I imagine that the NGs are inside the big tank just smacking wrenches into things, making robots. So that's my opinion on the matter.
Okay, so you could kind of just have them be one of those just, like, mechanical welding arms, but with the hard hat on, like, the last joint, just sticking together bits of other
No,
bits.
I imagine there's just an NG robot on, like, a mono wheel just going around a pile of scrap, whacking it with a wrench, and then robots are falling out the bottom.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, I imagine it's a sort of hopper with engineers with wrenches on the top and just a chute that poops robots on the bottom.
Okay, okay. For some reason, like, the NGs will sort of rotate, hit with the wrench, and then rotate and hit with the wrench, even though it doesn't matter, they're hitting, like, symmetrically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, like, all the classes are present, and there are variants on them, like, there can be scouts that have shotguns, or there's scouts that have bats, or there's snipers that shoot piss.
Is it randomized, or is there some sort of rhyme or reason to it? Like is there, like a wave designed with units that work well together?
I'm not actually sure. I don't know if it's, like, there It's structured in such a way that on each map there are set missions, and I think each mission might be a set of waves, but I've also heard that the waves are based on, like, your composition, too. But there are other things that the game does to react, like if you have a bunch of engineers, one of the new enemy types is a Sentry Buster, which is basically just a giant sticky bomb on legs.
Okay.
That will suicide itself into buildings. You can actually kind of cheese them if, like if you're up on high ground, because it does the sort of same thing that Sanctum did, where you have, like high ground where you're kind of safe, and then low ground where the dudes will run through.
Yeah.
But I guess in Sanctum you were building that high ground, so whatever.
I was going to say, like, they did release new maps for this mode, but
yes.
But they feel like TF2 maps. At least they don't seem, like, egregiously made for this new mode, or...
No, I mean, they definitely wouldn't work as, like, a Capture the Flag map, because there's only one base.
Okay.
They also, the spawn rooms are different. They don't have the closets. They have upgrade stations now, but I'll get to that later.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What was I saying? I was on a track before you asked me about the maps. Right, the maps are actually pretty fucking funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, one of them is a decoy facility, so they have, like, signs up that's just like, Manco Official International Headquarters, and it's just, like, this whitewash-painted planks, like, nailed over a sign that says, like, coal processing.
Yeah.
And then, like, another one is, like, a quicklime factory or something.
Okay.
So, like, there are all these bags around that are just, like, corp grade quicklime, works fast, hoses down easily. And there's all sorts of signs up that are just like, warning, we do not value your safety.
Yeah. Huh.
So that's fun.
But then it's still just kind of go around, shoot dudes.
Well, it's more like stand around, shoot dudes. No, they do a lot with the variety of the guys, because in addition to, like, variants where it's like, okay, instead of heavies with miniguns all the time, sometimes you have heavies with the giant fists of steel that make them take, like, no damage from ranged attacks and stuff. They also have, like, giant dudes, who are huge and much more dangerous, like...
I would expect no less.
Yeah, like giant soldiers that can only crit.
Oh, jeez.
Giant heavies whose minigun can shoot down projectiles.
Oh, God.
giant scouts who, unlike other giant things, are not slow. So one of them can just grab the bomb and just truck, and they're huge.
Yeah.
They also have tanks. Like, literal tanks.
Yeah.
Which carry their own bomb independent from the one that all the little guys are shuffling around.
Really?
And don't have any weapons, but they just take a massive amount of damage, so, like, you kind of have to split your attention between them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the enemy variety is really good.
Hmm.
And they also give you variety in that there are now upgrades to your weapons. Blah.
Upgrades.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just falling flat for some reason.
Yeah.
So you get money from killing robots.
That sounds right.
Because robots run on money for reasons undisclosed.
I mean, maybe they're based on ninja technology.
Yeah?
Yeah, ninjas metabolize gold.
Oh, that's
why
true.
Yeah.
No, they run on piles of cash. it's explicitly stated in some of the material in the run-up to this.
Oh.
Like, when they unveiled the whole upgrade mechanic, it's like, you can now purchase upgrades from the station. No, we're not going to pay for it. Like, you do the work. It's okay. Robots run on money. Just grab some of that after you kill them.
Can I just take a moment here? The new Happy Action Television, the sequel to Happy Action Theater.
Yeah.
One of the modes is a costume mode where just pieces will float down in bubbles and you swipe at them to get them equipped to you.
And one of them is just
one of them
it
just
rain.
Handful of money. And you just wave it around and dollar bills fly everywhere.
Yeah.
That's possibly the best thing in that.
That's pretty much what happens every time you kill a robot.
Good.
Like, you remember in Call of Duty how people explode into money for no good reason?
Yep.
Well, robots explode into money for a good reason, and it's to get upgrades to you.
Okay.
So you can upgrade any of your weapons back at the upgrade station, and it's all broken up into different categories, where you can sort of upgrade their baseline statistics, like, you know, damage and firing rate and ammo pool and stuff. But there's also a bunch of, like, weird, like, functional things that the default weapons don't do that you can upgrade into.
Okay.
Like, for example, the heavy's minigun, you can get the same thing that the giant heavies have where they shoot down projectiles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just upgrade and get that. But you can also get a thing where you build up a meter as you do damage, and then you can activate it to get knockback on all of your attacks.
Ooh.
So,
and this is all stuff that, like, works and adds on independently to whatever loadout you have equipped anyway?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can't change your loadout during the game without losing your upgrades, which is kind of a drag.
Do they at least refund your money?
No.
What? That's kind of shit.
Yeah.
That, like, that breaks game flow. If the idea is, like, waves get harder because they assume you will have money because you have survived this long.
Well, yeah, then just don't. Then just pick the loadout that you want and stick with it.
But it's, like, TF2.
Yeah.
That takes away, like, one of the only interesting... So that's, like, the my other question is, like, because, like, there was a sort of complex rock, paper, scissors about, like, which classes were good against which classes, do you feel that's still there? Like, does it feel the your team's composition really matters?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, they're... You know, you might get a wave sometimes where it's literally just... One I saw when I played was 150 scouts with sniper support.
Whoa.
That's it.
Huh. So it tells you what's coming up.
Yeah, yeah, tells you what's coming up. Which is very different from, like, two giant soldiers and a tank with medic support and nothing else.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, I haven't played as the spy, but from what I understand, the spy is really good at dealing with giant guys because...
Sappers?
Yeah.
Okay.
The sappers act as, like, an area slow thing. You stick it on a robot, and it just drags everything around it down. And then also one of the upgrades to your knife is, like, some kind of armor-piercing thing, so you just can backstab robots, even the giant ones. Like, I don't think it's an instant kill, but you do a shitload of damage.
You can do it, yeah.
Because it's kind of tower defense-y, like, obviously engineers are pretty useful.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that... I actually like what the game does to the composition to make everything work. Like, it gives scouts instant respawn because they're so fragile.
Yeah.
But also really useful to the team to pick up money, because money is shared throughout the team, but, like, if you don't pick it up fast enough, it just goes away. So just having a little asshole to run around and snag money is really useful.
Yeah.
And, like, because the pyro is so short-ranged, he's not, you know, so great at sitting up on the battlements and, like, raining stuff down on people.
Yeah.
But the air blast is really useful as a support ability to, like, push bomb carriers back or to keep sentry busters off of your engineers and stuff. Demo and medic is actually a pretty good combination because in between waves you can get uber charge really fast. So you, like, crits your demo man, and so you get, like, a field of crit sticky bombs.
Okay.
Which is pretty useful.
Yeah.
Except you should be using the Scottish resistance because it's better for that sort of thing. Because you can have, like, 14 stickies out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they kind of... The way the game works, it sort of makes items that aren't very... that aren't used a lot in regular TF2 used more. Like that Scottish resistance I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's an alternate sticky launcher that the demo man got way back when they gave him explosive weapons.
Yeah.
Which its thing is, like, it can't do airburst because it has a longer priming time on the stickies, but you can shoot them faster, and you can have 14 of them out.
Yeah.
And you can detonate them selectively based on where, like, you look at them, you point on them and click, and that detonates them.
Interesting.
So you can have a much larger minefield that you set off, you know, selectively. And it's super useful. But it doesn't really get used a lot because, you know, being able to just pop stickies in a dude's face is really useful.
In a normal
in competitive
mode, yeah.
TF2.
Okay. I could see that. Like, I doubt this is the kind of thing where they made it because of weapon bloat to make that happen.
Yeah.
But
they go out of the way to make everything fairly useful, though. Mm. Like the sniper and the scout both have like throwing jars.
Yeah.
Like there's no grenades in this game, but there are two different kinds of throwing jars. The scout's one, like if you throw it and it soaks guys and you get health return when you hit guys that are soaked.
Yeah.
And then the sniper, you soak guys and they get mini crits.
They get crits, yeah.
They made both of those also slow robots to make them more useful.
Okay.
What? You're making eyebrow wagglies.
Like, for as much as they're doing to make this work, like, it seems like it's something that just sort of falls into the idea of TF2 bloat. Because, like there's so many different kinds of weapons that do so many weird things, and that can be cool, but at the same time, like, everything is just getting so, like, weird and different, and it's kind of just, like, it's almost too much to be able to make sort of rational decisions. It's... Then again, that's as somebody who does not play that much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it seems like, you know, now we're making this secondary mode where we have to tweak little bits of everything to make it work. Like, it's not... Like,
the thing is, though, like, it does work.
It does work, but... I don't know, it seems sort of telling to me that, like, we had to make a lot of little exceptions to make it work.
Well, no, it's just because you have, different goals in this than you do in competitive TF2. And so, like, you know, something that's good at fighting an enemy team of, 8 to 16 human players isn't really good at fighting 150 scouts.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, when you break it down, it's sort of a game about shoot those dudes before they can kill you, or in this case, shoot those dudes before they can get too far.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Where I come from, that's not this difficult of a task.
I'm not saying, like they haven't completely gutted the game and, like, made a different game with the same player models. Like,
no, they haven't. So that's the thing. Like, it's this weird bit about, like, it's like, yeah, it's super different, but it's not different enough, so it's actually kind of the same.
Well, yeah, it's still TF2.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, but like, that thing, like, it is still TF2. Like, I'm not sure what... See, my question, it keeps coming down to, like, why would I play this over a Monday Night Combat? Which is already sort of a, robot wave-based, but also has a competitive, has, upgrade systems built in from the initial design, has, characters who are based around doing this kind of thing. Like, design decisions that were made for this, for, like, a creep and pushing-based kind of game, and not necessarily for a game about shooting dudes who are, like, class-based shooting. But, like, it's about sort of, like, the class dynamic of, like, they have this makeup, so we need this makeup, and then we'll adapt. Like, that's not really what, like, that is what the TF2 focus was, and now they're doing this completely different thing, but there's only so far they can go because they still are TF2.
The class dynamic is still really important to how it plays. Like, you're not changing your team, like, your team composition on the fly, but, like, you see each, what each wave is going up, is coming beforehand, and you plan accordingly, given the resources that you have.
Yeah, but like...
And you would play this game over something like that if you are already a fan of TF2 and have friends that play it and want to play co-op.
Yeah, but now Super Monday Night Combat is, like, free.
That's also a competitive game. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Like, I feel like... Like, they can do something and make it work. I'm not going to deny that. Like, I'm not going to say this is, like, a bad thing. But, like, I just don't understand why they would do it, because so much groundwork has already been laid that they're not going to change, because that is too much work to make it worth doing. that, but like, why are they going to put this much energy to make something different that won't be as good as other available things?
Because it revitalizes the product, because they've been selling this game for 5 years, and this is a new set of hooks that they can sell things to people with.
Yes,
and
but
because co-op things are popular, and now
but if the thing that's like, if the reason you're going to want to play it is because you're already into TF2, then that's not going to get you anybody new. Like, they're putting out something which, you know, because of you know, other games that do this sort of first-person tower defense-y stuff better, they're putting out an inferior product, so they're not going to... I am saying that not having played it, and to be fair, like, I stopped playing Monday Night Combat, but, like, I would rather play that than this, having played very little of each. Like, you're right, and that's why I'm still, like, looking to play a little bit of MVM, just so that way, when I poo-poo it, you cannot say I haven't played it. Like, it deserves at least that much. It deserves to be at least actually looking at it and analyzing it.
Okay.
But, like, I've heard it sort of, like, explained from a few different sources, and none of those sources make me understand why is this a thing. Except for, they don't want to lose the people who are already playing TF2. Like, that's kind of the only thing that makes sense. And even then, like, and if it, like if that's what it comes down to, like they're just like, oh no, people are getting bored of TF2, let's change it a bit. That's what you do. That makes sense to do for a game. But like, I don't really believe that. If that is not what their primary goal is, if they're trying to get new players or actually do something interesting and something that the game like needs or should have for some reason to make it better, none of those explanations hold up to me. Which means that they're kind of just doing busy work. Like, you know, things come and go. Like, maybe TF2 has had its time. Maybe the thing that should happen is they should make a new game. Maybe one that has the, you know, initials HL3.
You're salty.
What am I not? I don't know. Like, it just... I don't know. Like, it's the fanboy thing. Like, I feel like the people who are most excited about this are the people who are excited that the thing that they're already slaves to is now being changed a little bit. Like, if you are excited about this, it's because, like, you refuse to acknowledge things that do this better already and have been. TF2 is a dead horse. When is that weapon coming out? Just every class gets a dead horse weapon. We use every part of the dead horse.
I think I had forgotten how much vitriol you have for TF2.
Yeah.
Okay.
After you stopped trying the other night, RJ came to me and was like, well, that didn't work out. You want to try playing a game? I was like, yeah, I'm still in for it. I still want to check this out. He's like, oh, no, I just meant like a regular game since this is broken. And I was like, I don't like TF2.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and that's how it ended. But it's just like, yeah, like, something new deserves it. Its look, but... I've never had anybody, like, before there was weapon bloat was the only time TF2 made sense as, like, a product worth existing, but then...
What a fucking bullshit thing to say!
What? Why?
This game doesn't deserve to exist!
No, like it may...
Like, they need your mandate.
Everybody needs my mandate! I observe the world from my view.
Yes.
Psychology and shit. No, philosophy. What's the one where it's all my dream?
A bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, but it's that one.
So, if you're looking for a co-op, wave shooting, horde mode sort of experience thing...
There's better things than what they just put into TF2.
According to a guy who hasn't played it and also hasn't played... any of the other games that he compared it to recently.
Not recently, but I have played them, and
yeah.
They were...
But I'm saying, this isn't even like a genre of thing that you seem very interested in.
Do you know Bureaucracy?
Yeah.
Is Bureaucracy bullshit? Like when you get to the point of, like, we keep adding rules so that... And then, like, keep dealing with new things that the original rules weren't meant to deal with, and then you end up with, like, stupid loopholes, which means that, like... It is impossible for people to fund themselves, even though there are channels for it.
You're making a lot of weird philosophical comparisons.
Usually that's what happens when you're stretching for excuses, because I don't know what the actual core of my argument is. I don't know why I hate it so much.
Okay.
Why I think that it deserves hatred is more like it, actually.
So if you're looking for one of those things, Man vs. Machine is a fairly competent, entertaining one of those things that you can play for free. All their monetization around it is, like, complete bullshit, though, if you want to get something that I'll be on board with you with, for complaining about. So the structure of the monetization around this whole thing is that you can buy tickets to play on official servers in Man Up mode. And in Man Up mode, you give them $1 to play a round of this game, where at the end, you'll get a random drop. Like you might after playing any TF2 for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you do a tour of duty, which is 6 of those, which you have to buy a ticket for each one of those. So $6 gets you 6 random weapon drops, and I think a chance at a new cosmetic item at the end after your tour of duty.
Mm-hmm.
Which are all fucking ugly. Like, they're all gross.
Probably. Are they all, like, robot parts?
They're stock weapons with robot heads chained to them. So, like, you know the scout shotgun?
Yeah.
Imagine the scout shotgun, but with a robot head chained to it.
That sounds all right.
And it's jiggle-boned.
Oh, that sounds all right. That sounds pretty good.
But it looks really dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Shit.
Wasn't there, like, a squid hat that had jiggle bones on it?
There was the alien parasite from Alien Swarm. It was, like, the first promotional thing they did. I think that jiggled.
No, I thought there was, like... Wasn't there, like, a brain slug kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, there
that
was.
That might have had. Wasn't, Rufus's...
It's a pyro hat.
It was Rufus's fat that had jiggle bones on it? From Street Fighter 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was.
That was super gross.
That's so gross.
There's a robot chicken hat that's really dumb that a lot of people wear now.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like a metal scalp with a chicken mohawk coming out of it, and also a lens that goes over your eye, because robot chicken, get it? It's really gross looking. Just really dumb.
Why do you think those things are dumb? Like, I'll give you that if it is dumb-looking and people want to wear it, those people are dumb. But the thing itself doesn't necessarily have to be dumb.
Because once upon a time, this game had a cohesive art style.
Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, it had a cohesive mechanic set.
That too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say that, like, I'm in love with this game and that's why I'm defending it or whatever. Like, I don't like a lot of things about this game.
You've put how many hours into it?
A lot.
And I haven't.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Well, a lot of those hours were, you know, before or doing or during
enduring?
Things that I didn't like happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Happen?
It's certainly a video game.
It's a video game.
I had fun playing it with randos for a couple rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd have fun continuing to do that for... I don't know, more than a couple more rounds. I bet with a team of buddies, it's pretty fun, because co-op is fun.
Co-op fixes most things. Maybe that has something to do with it.
What?
If a game is designed for, like, a single player, when you bring in another player, you can break it. Like, something like Spelunky. We began mastering the art of the sequential jump.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Okay.
We practiced it a bit.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's cool, because they don't even need climbing gloves.
Yeah.
But everybody else died except for the one who went up. But, like, whereas, like, they're working backwards, like, they're not really making it co-op so much as they're just adding bot support.
Well, no, bot support was already there. They're adding...
Telling me that they're adding, like, new enemy types and like, making interesting waves?
Yeah, yeah.
That actually sounds like the
best... Well, they're also adding you know, that whole wave-based gameplay. Like, you could play a bot match of, you know, Capture Point or Capture the Flag if you wanted to before, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Because all the bots were really dumb. But now that they're in a framework where it's just like, oh, all the bots have to do is run forward and shoot people, now it's not so dumb.
Yeah, like they are changing bot support in the sense, like, they are making, like, by making it wave-based and setting up, like, interesting waves and some new enemy types, like, they are creating something interesting in that. That sounds like the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the other end, like, but, like seeing, like, you see that, and you're like, oh, hey, that's kind of interesting, and then you're still playing TF2.
Yeah.
Like,
but you're also playing TF2 with all the crazy upgrade stuff on your end. Like, maybe I didn't go into that enough, but, like, I got to a point in one of the games I was playing where, like, I was playing as the soldier, and I went with the Black Box, which is a rocket launcher that gives you, like, 15 health when you hit a dude with it. But it has a lower ammo capacity. Like, it only loads 3 rounds. But then after, like, you know, 4 or 5 waves of that game, it was holding 7 rounds, and I had, like, a 40 rocket pool instead of 20. And also, it fired 50% faster, and the projectiles flew really fast, and I could reload it hyper fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just was like, okay, I mitigate this thing, and then, you know, turn into a wanton destruction heal yourself bot. And then that's, you know, the one thing you could have done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have went with a different rocket launcher and upgraded it a different way, or not gone with the buff banner like I did and went with the shotgun and have the shotgun be really good because you can upgrade it to penetrate dudes. There's a lot of variety on that end, too.
I mean, like, that does sound like it could be interesting, but if getting back into LoL has reminded me of anything, it's that, like, if your progress is making your numbers go up steadily, that is not a fun experience, to me at least. Apparently, I think there are people who make that really, who find that really fun, but, like,
seeing a progression. Knowing that you want a thing and then getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, that might be why Akali is my favorite in LoL so far. Because there is a point, like, you get a number to a certain point, and then one of her hands starts to glow.
Yeah.
And then her number will make her different hand glow. And that's, like, an actual feedback and not just a number getting bigger.
Mm.
A number getting bigger doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel at all, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I get 2 more seconds of this thing. Ooh. That's sort of my new theory. Just, like, if you put, like, if you have, like, a difference in weapons or tools. I fucking wrote a thesis on that. There's a proper name I called it. I think it was just, like, tools.
Okay.
But, like, if the difference in the tools...
Gamers like to touch things.
If the difference in tools that you give your gamer is entirely, like, percentage-based, then you're susceptible to, like, weapon bloat and just, like...
Yeah.
Like, indeterminate cloud fart nonsense.
The Heavy has 4 distinct miniguns. There's the minigun. There's the minigun that spins up faster but does less damage. There's the minigun that makes you move slower but does more damage. And then there's the minigun that projects a ring of fire around yourself when it's shooting.
See, now that sounds good.
Yeah.
And then, well, isn't there also the one that slows down people you shoot with?
Oh, yeah, there's that one, too.
That does less damage but slows down the other person.
Yeah.
Like, slowing down somebody else, like, that is a non-stat-based difference.
Yeah, yeah. Projecting a ring of fire around yourself.
But
that was a Sleepy Dogs tie-in.
Yeah?
I don't think there are any miniguns in Sleepy Dogs, but they looked at the workshop and was like, oh, somebody made a minigun with a Chinese dragon for a barrel. All right.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
I don't understand that tie-in pack.
When I play Sleepy Dogs, I'm going to have the Rico Rodriguez costume, because I have a Just Cause 2 save.
Oh, mans.
That game has an action stance in it. That game has a long and sordid history.
What is an action stance?
That's when you stick your head out the window and you're ready to jump onto another car at a moment's notice.
Oh. Was that game Just Cause for some point of its development?
It might have been the Just Cause people at some point in its development.
Oh, jeez. Sleepy dogs.
Sleepy dogs.
You know what they say. If the sleepy dog fits, don't throw stones.